Well, good afternoon.
Hello.
This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Brian is here.
Brian, welcome.
We may be waiting on the rest of the team, Rob. How you doing?
Okay.
They should be joining any minute now. Before they do, do you know anything about Jim Lower's, is he still doing that camp over in Orlando for this corporate athlete stuff?
Oh, Jim Lower? Yeah. You know, he's close to being retired. I'm not sure. I think it was this year he was going to retire.
Have you ever been to that, or do you know anything about it?
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, you saw that I recommended his book, right? Is that why you brought it up?
Yeah, I mean, I had read it before a long time ago and heard about that camp, but I never did anything about the camp, so I was just wondering.
Oh, it's fabulous. Yeah, I used to take 40 financial advisors every year.
Really? That's interesting.
You know, when you get a million, instead of taking you out for a steak dinner or a weekend in Chicago, I'd take you to Jim Lair's for the weekend. It was a couple of days, and it's a fabulous experience. And, you know, I like to do big things that change people's lives. And that one did that.
Is that right?
Huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It changed quite a few lives. I had people tell me that. Larry Wilson. We used to do something called Play to Win with Larry Wilson. And that's his book. That's his book that I recommend you read. And that was another. That was another life changer.
I don't have that.
Yeah, you want to read that. Read it. You know, I read it every year. Larry passed away a couple of years ago, and so I read it on his birthday. And it's a ritual that I have. And he was a fabulous guy, one of my mentors, and changed my life and changed. You know, just he was the one who helped me do my mission statement, my purpose statement, my vision, and taught me how to play to win. I always did. I thought I did, but I didn't always. And so it's made it's partly why I wrote the book. It's partly why I have the consulting company, all because of Larry. And Jim is the one that, you know, you'll see rituals throughout the. It's not the amount of discipline that you have that determines your success, because we all have the same amount of rituals. It's the same amount of discipline. We all have the same amount. But some people seem to get so much more done. It's because they create rituals, which then don't require any discipline, because they're part of what we do, like brushing our teeth.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, so that became part and parcel to how we do Supernova. You know, I was a Navy pilot, so I just read about these pilots, this plane in Russia that crashed, and it turns out that they did not turn on their pitot tube heater. And if you're flying in the winter and you don't turn on your pitot tube heater, your speed indicators will be wrong and won't work. And so that's why you have checklists. And why, no matter how many times you do these things as a pilot, you never memorize anything. You always go by the checklist. So then you don't fail to turn on the pitot tube heater. And the same thing is, I want you to do the same thing with Supernova. I mean, I want you to create rituals around what you do every day and not memorize it, basically. It happens. You look at your schedule every day. You look at your folders every day. Before you talk to a client, you open the folder, go review it, prepare for it. Call the client's there. It's just a process that goes on, but one of the key elements of Supernova is that you're not in charge of it, that it's run by your staff. your right. team runs the calendar, they build the folders, they put the folders down there, you write in them, and you pass on the work that needs to be done to your team, but you're the pilot, and the crew takes care of everything else, or you're the doctor, and your staff of nurses take care of everything else. So that's the basic, that's one of the things that Jim taught me. The other thing was this power of full engagement is all about energy, and you can't have optimum performance without optimum recovery. So you create ideal performance state by having ideal recovery state.
So I sort of watched that going on in the Super Bowl with Brady. You could see him just chilling out, anytime he wasn't on the field.
Right. Recovery. Perfect recovery time. Right. And that's what tennis players do in between points, and they always sit down and take it easy, towel off, and every ritual is always the same. So you want to, so you create those same professional rituals around what you do every day so that you're always at your ideal performance state. But like at noontime, I took a quick 20-minute nap. And
I don't know how to do that. I just don't know how to relax, and I don't know how I can get there.
Well, one of the ways you can do it is by exhausting yourself. I went out and did a 4-mile bike ride pretty hard this morning, and I was tired, and so it wasn't hard for me to talk out for 20 minutes because I was pretty tired. And that's what I, I'm like a little kid. Anytime I stop, I can easily fall asleep, Whether I'm in an airplane or a car or anywhere, I used to recover and, I arrange for somebody, I'd go and visit all these offices, right? In Oklahoma City and everywhere else. And I'd have somebody drive me around to all the little satellites, and I'd sleep in between. And I'd wake up and be ready to go. And that way I could go from 8 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, day after day, and not be wasted.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it sounds like we got the team on, Coach.
Yeah, we're on.
Dennis, everyone there? Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's a good... Welcome, everybody. Brian, that was a good discussion. Brian was asking about Jim Lehrer, who's over in Orlando, Florida, and has a performance institute over there that I highly recommend it. Jim is, I think, just about ready to retire, if not retired this year. But he went on, he's not that old. I'd say he's about 77 now, 76. He had amazing effect on a lot of different people. Wonderful guy. So that's one of the books I recommend for everybody. The Powerful Engagement, and then Larry Wilson's book, Playing to Win. So there's a lot more. There's a book I'm adding to it, which is called Give and Take. Andrew Grant is the author, he's a professor at Wharton, and he talks about that there's three kinds of people: givers, takers, and masters.
And the third one?
The third one is a master, a person that masters. We get the givers, we understand the takers, but the masters, that's a little different, right? A master is a person that will... I'll do this for you if you'll do this for me.
Gotcha.
So when we're creating these centers of influence and mastermind groups and basically these connector groups, we want to make sure we fill them up with givers, people that give because they like to give and help, and avoid the takers. And avoid the matchers. case where you have to, it's interesting. Somebody, you know, people will say to me all the time, I've been giving this guy referrals all the time and he never gives me one. Well, it's probably because he's a taker. or he doesn't understand. You've not explained to him what you're doing and why you're doing it. But anyway, I digress a little from today. So how was your week and what questions do we have?
I think we had a pretty good week, pretty successful week. I'm not sure how much of that was applying Supernova, but today, what, Dennis and Darlene, you guys signed up a 2+ million client, and I thought we might, you know, just tell you a little bit about, I mean, that guy came from a niche, I don't know how to pronounce that, from a electric co-op in south of Oklahoma City. You know, and I think it's an example of what's gone on. It's not bad. It's actually very good. We've had a lot of good things going on. And I do want to tell you a little bit about our client event too, but this cat that came in was one of the, you know, kind of C-suite guys at this electric co-op. And it's like most of what's happened with Align. It's almost just, I have no idea how we fell into that niche, but we've got a whole bunch of clients from that co-op and they all come to Align, but it was all kind of accidental. I mean, we did great work on purpose, but I have no idea how we did this. Do you know how we developed that niche? It's just weird.
It started with one of them, and I have to look back and see how we found us, but I think Tracy was the first one. Yeah. But now they all work together, so they just, okay, I'm retiring. Who'd you use? And they just come in here and, okay, work with you.
It's wonderful.
So anyway, it was really awesome. And then we had I don't know how to incorporate this or not, or if it takes the place of a touch, but I would think it would. We have a ritual, believe it or not, of a semi-annual client event. And it's not just, you know, it's not just a social. It is always very social, and Debbie does a killer job making it, you know, with the food and the drink and the locale and everything, where Dennis and I just show up the way you've trained or the way you preach us running our everyday practice. But we had a great event. When was it? Friday. Friday afternoon. We do it Friday afternoons at like 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and everybody, even, you know, crappy as last week was in the markets, they really enjoyed it, and we get great reviews out of that. So it's almost like a group review.
Right.
And it really minimizes concerns and calls. Every 6 months.
Okay, every 6 months. Okay. Yeah, so
we do it every 6 months. We do it at Dennis's Country Club, where we have a lot of clients, and that's another kind of niche, Oak Tree Country Club in Edmond, Oklahoma. And then, you know, there'll be 2 or 3 or 4 prospects. We wish there were more, but there's not. But it's kind of like a group, you know, review meeting where we go over exactly what's happened in the markets and, you know, exactly what our portfolio has done from, you know, aggressive to conservative, and then what we're doing and
why, yeah. Why we've done what we've done in the portfolios up to that point and what we're doing going forward. We had over 100 come to this one.
Great.
And then it seems like we did. Didn't we bring on one or two other clients this past week, team?
Not last week. I mean, last week was really just... Schiffer Decker. So that's another million. A referral from an attorney. I think that was the only one last week.
So it's pretty decent. 3 million in 5 days is good for a line.
Yeah, every 5 days we do that, we have no, you know, I'll be the greatest coach ever, right?
Right. I hope it happens.
No, I won't ever take credit unless it's due. But, no, that's fun. That's great. Congratulations. And that's the that's the part. What you mentioned was that electrical co-op. You have this niche that is just happened. And one of the things that when I was asked to be the sales manager in Providence, Rhode Island, when I was producing still, and I was thinking about going to management, so they said go down to Providence and be the sales manager. Well, I kind of picked up my book and went down there, and I had to go from being unconsciously competent to consciously competent, because you can't teach what you do unless you can set up a, we call it rituals, or set up a series, a process that you went through. So I had to go back through and figure out what I did in order to get to the point of being somewhat competent at what I was doing. So we call that consciously competent. So you go from unconsciously competent, and you're good, you're doing successful, to being consciously competent. And so you go back and you figure out, where did I get that account? How did it first come in? What did we do in order to get that person? Was it an ad that we wrote? Was it a friend? Was it a referral? And then why can't we consciously then decide that this other cooperative next door is pretty good niche too? So why don't we go and get an introduction to them and do the same thing?
Good idea.
Okay. So that's what we do when we say, okay, let's identify each of us have at least two different niches that we work with, and then inside each niche, we want to create a center of influence or identify a center of influence. In this particular electric co-op, there is someone telling your story and doing it very well.
Right.
Okay, so the question is, who is that person? Do you know who it is?
I mean, it's, right now it's Tracy and John Spencer. Yeah. There's two guys.
Okay, so those two guys would be your centers of influence inside that niche. And instead of just running them, you got to see. They will do well for you, but they'll do better if you feed them. Okay?
What do you mean?
So what do I mean by feed them? People value you, your time, your energy, and your wisdom. So you give them more of you. And you try and help them in anything that they need. So what they would have done unconsciously, then they start doing consciously. So they become consciously confident of what they're doing. And they send you twice as many referrals and better ones, because they know what you want.
Well, it's very interesting that this is bringing up, Dennis, really the whole team, is I don't know whether Tracy or John have our most current Who We Are piece, but it seems like, and that's a brochure about who we are and what we do, Rob, it seems like that might be a good thing to say, here's a couple of these for your next person. Let us help you do your job. This explain here. I don't know. And then every time we get a referral, we do send a nice dinner gift card, Rob.
I think
so. We really do feed them, but you know, as far as what they're telling others about what we really do, I wonder what that sounds like. Other than, well, yeah, you gotta go see Dennis. He's my financial guy.
Right, right. Can they explain what are they actually saying? So here's what. Think of it this way. Think of them as being a satellite of your office, and those two guys are salesmen that you are paying, okay,
right,
to to sell you. So what would you do for them to make sure that they were okay, right? To make sure they had what they needed and were doing okay and everything was good, right? You'd probably stop in every month, make sure they had the necessary supplies and make sure that they understood what was going on. You'd have a sales meeting for them and you'd teach them what was the latest and greatest. And then they'd go, you know, they'd go on and sell, continue to sell for you. So that's what you literally do. You literally will, you know, I recommend. Now, I'll tell you a quick story. I recommended that these two guys do this, and they had centers of influence, and they were pretty good at, you know, growing their business. They weren't rookies, but they weren't consciously competent, and they didn't do it regularly. So I said to make a folder, go see your center of influence, give them a folder which has all your information in it. Put a list of the people that they've referred you to, which is kind of a credit to them for all the introductions they've given to you. And give them your brochures and just thank them. Maybe take them to lunch. You send them dinner cards. That's sweet. That's nice. And tell them that we're going to be out here and meeting with you every month. Okay? And help you and do anything you want. Now, you don't have to go every month, but these guys did this. And they went out and they saw an attorney. They hadn't seen him in 6 months. And then they gave him a folder, and they had a folder, and they had an agenda. And then they met with him and sent him an executive summary of what they agreed to do for each other. And then they did this for 3 months. And they got called him and said, I've got an introduction for you. And they went to see him, and he said, you know, had you guys not done what you're doing and explained that this is what you do for all your clients, I probably wouldn't have introduced you to this person, but I think you're perfect for this guy. The guy is not that, you know, he's in New York, but he's not a big investor, and he needs somebody like you guys. And so they just went and did their presentation, the dog and pony show. There were 5 different RFPs. So they were like 3rd in line. They did their presentation, then they handed the potential client, a folder and said, this is your folder. In the back will be the agenda for each meeting we have. We'll have a meeting, you know, we do 12 contacts, 4 reviews, 2 will be in person. And the guy said, wait a minute, stop. What are you doing? Every month we give you, you know, we call you and have an agenda and then send you an executive summary. And he said, my God, nobody has talked about service. Everybody's talked about performance and everything else. I'm going to cancel the rest of my appointments and I'm going to go with you as long as you do this. Well, it was $60 million.
That's a good one.
They then proceeded to bring in $150 million that year and have been bringing in close to $100 million each year. So it worked. People say, well, I don't want to give my center of influence a folder. I said, listen, they'll be flattered. If they move it, you can give them another one. You know, it's not like a, you know, leather binder that they're going to, you know, never use. This is a medical folder. It's real simple. But they're going to be very flattered that you're going to take the time with them and treat them like a big shot. And they will refer more business to you. So it works. It really works. And these guys went on to do this with all their centers of influence. They created mastermind groups. They were very good. You know, they were good students before I got them. They were good marketing. They both had IT, you know, they both had technology businesses, which they had sold and came into our business. So they were talented people. But the point is that these things work. And if you'll do them for these niches, you'll turn them, you'll electrify them. Not to make an electric co-op, joke, but you will. You'll get them on fire. They'll be they'll really appreciate the time and attention. And then you can, you know, you can strategize and you can do more things for them. I mean, look, you can, you know, you give them a gift certificate, you bring them to the, always make sure that they're invited to every one of these events. Maybe you have a special event for your centers of influence that have been so good to you. Take, you know, take them to dinner at a nice place as a group. Introduce them to each other so they, you know, they can network themselves and so forth. I mean, a lot of different things you can do, but these are true centers of influence which have no agenda, meaning that you can't do anything for them, really, in terms of you can't refer business to them, but you can just be good to them, you know, just take care of them.
Okay.
So what other niches do you have or do would you like to have?
Dennis, why don't you use this opportunity to talk a little bit about, XTO Energy and the couple of people we have that we're working on there.
We've got a few there. I mean, just off the top of my head too, I think what other niches, I mean, we've got quite a few clients out of Oak Tree, and then another energy company, OG&E, we get quite a few from there.
Which is a competitor of this other OEC. I mean, OG&E is the big electric company for...
Right. And Norman Police is another. Right. Yeah. But the one Brian was talking about, is we're starting to get some... We have a few clients with ExxonMobil or XTO Energy. And this we have a prospect... that we met with, what, 3-4 weeks ago, I guess, or up to, you know, a couple weeks ago, did a investment, you know, kind of a, here's what we would do if we were you. And he's got about $6 million. And so he hasn't become a client yet, and he already referred another guy to us. And so I talked to his name's Kirk Ross, and so Kirk just called and said, you know, Greg said he really... thought you guys, you know, knew what you were doing, and so we went through, and so this kind of is the dilemma. It, right now, you know, he's only got like $250,000, but he's going to retire in about 3 years. He said, I've got another $600,000, $650,000, something like that in a 401k, and I don't, my wife doesn't want me doing this anymore. I don't want to do it. I want someone to take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so my thought was, okay, it's only $250,000, but then he's got that, you know. So I went ahead and set an appointment, so I thought, you need can't, and the guy that $6 million guy is already referring someone, you can't tell him, nope, you don't have enough, sorry. Yeah, that was my thought at least. I mean, what's your thought on that?
Well, you've got a couple different ways of going. One, you could say, you know, I had a guy do this to me, and I said, you know, he met me when we were playing golf in Puerto Rico, and he said, and I told him I didn't have that much money, I was in the Navy, and he said, well, you know, that's fine. All you can be a help to me, though, by being a center of influence. So by introducing me to your friends, you become a valuable client. So that's one way to do it. You can turn, you know, a guy that's going to have less than $1 million into a valuable resource, and he pays you your normal fee by introducing you to others that would value the service. So I would.
So he would be a butler in.
Well,
in your terminology,
I would rather do 12-14 at 250,000. Yes, he would be a butler, but you don't want to give him butler service if he's going to be referring $6 million people to you. So you see, you want him to understand what it is that you do. And so you say, look, our minimum is, you know, is $1 million, but you're going to do your rollover with us, and that'll get you up close to $1 million.
Right.
And so we're going to treat you as if you have $1 million. So we're going to give you 12-4-2 and financial plan and the whole thing. But just understand that when you introduce us to one of your friends and associates or other retirees, our minimum is north of a million, and we are ideal clients to a half million. And he'll understand that. He'll think of it as you doing him a favor.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the way I handle that. You guys still have some capacity.
Right.
So, so you know, you can do that. You can remember the rule of common sense trumps all other rules.
That's kind of how I thought too. I mean, it's, you know, that, and if he comes back and tells the guy, you know, $6 million, yeah, you're right, these guys are, you know, this team knows what they're doing, then that just reinforces it for the $6 million client too.
Right, right. But you want more of the $6 million guys, you know, obviously, than the 250.
Right. That's a good. To tell them our minimum is a million, but we're happy to bring in. We'll have that as, you know, when you retire in 3 years or whatever. Well, you know that's kind of, it's contingent on us working together with that as well.
And I would make, you know how when you do a pledge at the university,
uh-huh.
You say, I'm going to give you $100,000 or $200,000 or $500,000 or whatever it is, and they say, okay, sign this piece of paper, right?
Right.
Yep. It's a pledge. It's a 5-year pledge of, you know, $25,000 a year. You don't need them to sign something, but I would make sure it's very clear that rollover is coming here.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So I would do everything.
Let's get.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, maybe if we can, Rob, get some coaching from you on the $6 million guy. I think it's been a little bit longer, Dennis. I'm not sure. I think it's been more like a couple of months since we met with Greg and Dee Bates and their names. $6 million, and I don't want to get us off track, but we do a bunch of other stuff I want to get your opinion about sometime. Like, Greg sent us an email saying, thanks for this awesome Valentine's Day candy you sent to me and my wife. I do plan on doing business with you. I just don't know when to do that. Mm-hmm. He's retiring in a year and a half, he said. He's 53.
Mm-hmm.
And all of his money now, well, the big part of the money is in his 401k plan. But Dennis, I don't know if you looked at the file, but Robin Dennis, the file tells us that he's got taxable accounts, one at Merrill and one at Scottrade, totaling about 1.6. And it's almost all in ExxonMobil stock, and it's got very low basis. And that's probably what nonetheless, even though it's got very low basis, it's probably his most tax efficient way to, you know, to have income to live on. The other thing is, though, he said he's going to do some consulting. So, I mean, Dennis Packard, I don't know if we bring the guy on right now and start diversifying this taxable stock stuff out and get him, you know, less concentrated and get him ready to turn that into income. Yeah.
I mean, there are some urgent situations, and I'd say that's probably one of the more urgent ones, where, you know, his whole net worth, but at least his, you know, the company, it's hard to go out and tell somebody their company is a concentrated position is one thing, but a concentrated position in Exxon stock is another. I mean, that's even more risky than some. So even though it's a big, great company, the industry is one that is going to be, you know, challenged for years to come.
Right.
So, you know, it's not Sears and Roebuck, but it's not, you know, Google. So I think that would be one where you'd want to do your financial plan now. I mean, you're going to retire in a year, Mr. Bate. You need to do your financial plan now. Let's get it going. And the financial plan is going to then dictate what, you know, what the ideal path is And the ideal path is going to be to diversify. So that's the way.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the way I
think that's kind of just. I think that's probably right. That's good. I think he is going to be in a pickle if, there's some blowout in a well somewhere and Exxon goes down 50%. He's going to, he's probably not going to be retired in a year and a half. I don't know.
Right.
That's good. Tough situation. I mean, you're in a fabulous area, okay, in terms of energy and opportunities and oil and gas, but oil and gas, carbon, if this electric car thing happens and driverless cars and all that, it's oil and gas isn't going away, but it's going to be, less use, at least usably. You know, you don't heat too many houses anymore with gasoline. You heat it with natural gas because it's cheap. So that one's that's a winner. But gasoline and oil, not so much. I mean, it's going to be tough. So anyway,
Coach, can I ask you one other bit of coaching on this XTO thing?
Yeah.
Something that I've been kind of tiptoeing around, and Dennis, if you've got some insight, or Darlene or anybody, please chime in. But, and I don't even know if anyone other than Dennis Packard knows this, but I know it. So Greg Bates, the $6 million guy that we just talked about, right, Rob?
Yep.
He lives in a very nice house, and four houses down is a guy named Kent Sams, who fired us about 6 years ago. And the reason he did is he said our performance sucks versus XTO stock. And so this is all very odd to me that now his neighbor and maybe his boss has come and wants to hire us. And I don't know if there's anything to do about that, but I've always felt kind of weird about it. It's like, hey, Dennis, do you think maybe these two guys know each other? I mean, they live four houses away and they work at the same company. And any thoughts on that?
But the reality is the people that do my lawn will not do business with the people across the street from me. And it's because they're not nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not saying this Kent guy is not nice. Whatever reason he got rid of us. I don't even really know why, I don't think. But
people know about each other, and they still are friends. I mean, I'm still friends with our neighbor. I won't let any of my people that do business, to take care of my house or do any of that stuff, I won't let them go near him because he's not nice to employees,
Yeah.
So people are weird, They do things for, they do things for irrational reasons, and they can be friends and coworkers and, I just would never mention Mr. Sands ever.
is that right? That is what we've done, I think.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Just pretend it never happened. Just ignore it. He'll ignore it. You ignore it. Everybody ignores it.
Yep.
All right. Don't need it. Don't need to bring it up. But it's, when you visit him at work, you're probably going to bump into him. So,
yeah. I hear you. It's always been kind of those unspoken weird things that that's fine. All right.
Right. But you're probably going to outperform XTO now.
Yes.
Concentrated positions are great when they work.
Which is not often.
Yeah. So, it's just, a lot of people say, the worst thing I ever did was diversify. And I said, that's because you all, you work at Google and work at Amazon. Work at Sears and Roebuck and tell me about, diversification or any of these old companies. GE, how is your diversification from GE? How's that concentrated position treating you these days? So that's probably one of the best examples you can use because there's a lot of people that own GE.
Yeah, that is a good example.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, Rob, before, this is way off, I just had to go over my notes for the call.
Yeah.
On a completely different subject, part of our homework was to start going over the folders. I don't know if you tried, I clicked on the link to look at what you have versus what we use now and what we need to be using, and the link doesn't work. So I look at folders.
Okay. Did Cindy send you a folder, or?
No.
Let's see, chapter 4, I think we tell you what you need for the folders. Yeah.
She just sent a link to, I guess, to where we could go buy them. I just wanted to compare it versus what you guys have versus what we're, I guess, you know, we've got a lot of those blue ones already, don't we? So we've got some, but I just kind of want to see what, see if ours were the same as what you were doing, and it just, that link came up and said it's not a, I can't remember what it said. The winter site wasn't a, it didn't show folders or anything.
Okay, so did Cindy send that to you, and it didn't work? Okay.
Yeah.
That's helpful. That's very helpful. Thank you. I'll find out what it is and get it.
Okay.
What in the homework did you have questions on, and what can I help with?
Right now, I don't, yeah, we're still, I think we're, you know, Brian and I have a meeting to work on a lot of this later this week, so I don't think we've spent enough time on it, to be honest with you, to have any more questions on it.
Okay.
We spent most of our time last week just working on the client event.
And you know, it's always, you know, I always say the best laid plans of mice and men, and then life shows up, you know?
Yeah, right.
So I understand. The week covered, the things that I was talking with Brian about were the rituals, Jim Ware, particularly, and creating your ideal day. But this is also the week when we create your ideal day. It isn't just ideal performance state, ideal recovery state, but I put it into that week because while you're building your ideal schedule of when you want to talk to clients, when you want to prospect, that's the time to put in there when you want to have recovery time, when you want to take breaks, when you want to work out, you know, when you want to go home, when you want to prospect. All these things have to be thought about ahead of time. You know, when do you want to take vacations? How do you coordinate that with your team? What do you do about your folders when you're on vacation and things like that?
Okay.
So this is a good time to talk about, you know, when we have to travel to go see clients. How do we, I think we covered some of that, you know, you bunch them together. You don't want to go see one person in Texas and then go another week and see them, you know, bunch them together so you see people all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of goes to Debbie and Dennis stacking up A clients for appointments when I'm in Oklahoma City. Might be a good idea.
Yeah. So, so what we do is typically give yourself breathing room. But let's say you're going to create your ideal week of visitations, and you're going to have 2 days of visits in Oklahoma City. So, or someplace, wherever you pick, Dallas or something, and you say, okay, I want a 9 o'clock meeting, I want a 12 o'clock meeting, and I want a 3 o'clock meeting. That would be very easy to do, and then do 9, 12, and 3 the next day. So those would probably be their sacred hours from then on. You know, it'd be like the third week of the month. The third week of the month, every month would be a 9, 12, and 3. 9, 12, and 3. And then when you went to see them, it'd be 9, 12, and 3, 9, 12, and 3, and Monday and Tuesday. So you kind of stack them together. But give yourself space in between so that you can breathe. You know, you can get from one appointment to the other, not rush. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. You talked about becoming, we talked about your niches. The advantage of niche marketing is this, and this is something that's kind of obvious, but not, when we were in Indianapolis, we had Eli Lilly there, and I had several financial advisors making a living on Eli Lilly. I think you guys have a UPS center in Oklahoma City, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So when I came to Oklahoma City, we went after them because that's when they were going public and there were people with a lot of money. So we formed a team that would become specialists in UPS. So that's what you want to do. So pick your niches and then learn their benefits. You don't want to learn the benefits for 30 companies.
Right.
You want to learn the benefits for, you know, four companies or three companies. And then that's what you do for a living is be the masters. You know more about those companies' HR policies than the HR people. And again, you can't do that for everybody, but you can for a limited number. And you want to do that where the population, as we said, I was a Navy pilot, it would be a target-rich environment. Okay? So it would be a lot of high-quality prospects all in a close proximity to each other. That make sense?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's fun, too. It's a fun thing to do. And they value it. Each company, you know this already, your company, everybody's company has got an acronym, you know, abbreviations that stand for different things. That's the language of the company. So, you know, XTO is going to have their own language. You need to learn those. Learn their language.
Okay.
So you can speak it. And when you speak it, then it's just like Mandarin or something. You're one of them. You're in their tribe. They consider you one of them. So there's some things you need to do for each niche. And first thing is to learn their language. Yeah. Learn their benefits, understand their stock options, stock purchase plan, stock options, benefits, retirement plan, 401k, 401k options, and advise them on disability and 401k options. And you say, well, I don't get paid for that. And no, of course you don't. But you want to be the authority on everything. So it doesn't matter whether you get paid or not. What matters is that you have good advice to give, and they don't have any advice. So when they have opportunity to buy extra disability for pennies, you tell them to do it. And when they can opt for different asset allocations in their 401ks, you tell them what to do.
Yeah.
And then you will be the authority then in that community.
Okay. Good idea. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you get to the point where they literally want to give you an office to help people plan for retirement. We had an office at Lilly. They gave us an office. That was pretty good. They gave us an office at Chrysler. I hired a guy from UPS in Indianapolis, and he was a finance guy, and so we built a whole business around that company.
Huh.
Yeah. So you know, when you say, well, we got, yeah, we're doing great. We got, you know, we got a bunch of people from XTO. And I say, well, how many, you know, how many work there that are in the, that would qualify?
Right.
Now, there's 40 that work there that, you know, there's 40 that work there that would qualify. And how many do you have? You know, and they say, oh, we're doing great. Yeah, we have 3. I'm like, really? You think that's good? Not that I'm busting anybody. It's just perspective, right? If there's 40,
right.
Well, why don't we have all 40?
Okay.
Let's go get all 40. You know, let's play to win. What would that mean if we got those 40 people that all have, you know, 5 million? Well, that means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then it's worth being the expert. And anybody that checks in is immediately sent to you. Or they're checking out, they're sent to you. And, you know, the HR director changes, and you go with them, and the new one comes in, and you go with them. You know, I'm sure energy HR people, if they change companies, they stay in the HR, in the energy business.
Right.
So you're moving around to all different kinds of energy companies, and you're the guys. You're the experts.
Huh.
So then you say, wow, there's not, you know, not that much business in Oklahoma City. Wait a minute. How about how much business there is in the energy business? You can be in Dallas or Houston or Oklahoma City or anywhere. You don't care. You're just going to be where the money is. Yeah, so you go where the money is. So that's the advantage of a niche. And, you know, you pick a niche. People say, what's niche? I said, pick the one with the most money. I mean, why would you pick one with, you know, I'm sorry, but people without money aren't good clients, so let's pick the ones with the biggest, you know, biggest paycheck.
Right.
Right. So, you know, that's why you can have hospitals are great niches, you know, if you got surgeons and you got a big hospital, you got big, I took a look at Oklahoma City, just, you know, you got a lot of government, that's not going to be much good, but lobbyists sometimes make a lot of money. And the hospitals make a lot of money. So the surgeons and doctors, and they're terrific. And energy. Energy is really should be your specialty.
Okay.
Yes,
we need to get good at XTO's benefits, obviously. That'd be one of them.
Yeah, it's a really good thing. And they'll let you, you know, you tell them, I've got some clients I need to, you know, I need to really know what's going on in terms of the benefits. Is there a way I can read this? What your policy is? So your client will give it to you, or the HR people will give it to you, but somebody will give it to you.
Okay.
And the clients will never read it, you know, they don't want to read that stuff.
Right. Yeah, they pop it down and say, here you go, you know, what can I do? Or what should I do?
Right. So if you read the benefits, you're gonna find things that they should be doing. You know, they're not doing their full match on the 401k or something and silliness like that. I mean, that's simple things you can pick up.
Okay.
We haven't talked about segmentation. Are you guys okay with that? Where are you now?
Well, honestly, I don't know if we've done much more on it. I mean, that's kind of what Brian and I talked about working on this Friday.
Okay.
We're
going
to block off time to sit down and work on all of this and come up with, you know,
you're not look, you guys aren't in bad shape. You can ignore it a little bit, but you want to kind of become quite definitive about the level of service you're giving.
Right.
So, you know, from here on, every client you bring in gets 12-4-2, okay? And then go through and identify the clients that you think definitely need it now, all right?
You're breaking up on it.
Okay, sorry.
There you go.
Sign them up, put them in the scheduler, and get them rocking and rolling. And then work from the top down, because you don't want somebody walking out the door because you haven't called them for a little bit.
Right.
So, and then you know, maybe do the easy handoffs to somebody else, but try not to bring in anybody that wouldn't be potentially. I mean, this guy that you were talking about, I would say fine, let him in, but it's not who you're really prospecting.
That's right. That's exactly right.
No, I just thought it'd be a good learning to mention him, you know, with the connection to the $6 million guy, and it's, you know, it's for real.
Well, and you know what you can do with him? You can say to him, look, you know, this is the deal. We, you know, we're normally a million. Our target is $2.5 million and or $3 million. But we want to develop a relationship here with XTO, and we'd love for you to be our, you know, we're going to work with you. We're going to help you. We're going to give you everything we got. In return, what we'd like you to do is help us become experts in your retirement plan and in every part of your business. And he'll be like, yay, okay. So he's, you know, he becomes your new best friend, and he teaches you guys everything about the company. And just say, look, we need to be able to speak the language. So you give us a list of, you know, where you're having a conversation about your industry or inside the company, what are the acronyms that everybody knows? So we come in and we start talking. We don't sound like idiots or can't understand the conversation.
Okay.
So I think that would be fun. You feel like an insider, you know. That would make it fun for him. I mean, he's a good guy. I mean, you know. This
yeah,
is
like that.
Yeah. He's a great guy. I mean, it's great. Yeah. So, yeah, it's fun. It's a fun. I'm jealous. I want to go help. I want to go do it.
That makes sense.
That's good. All right. How are we doing on time here? We just ran out of time. Okay.
Yep.
All right. We got my other call coming on, so I will leave you guys. But you're doing great, and bring me some more stories. These are good ones.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.